Epiphany closes down today. It began, as you know, as you remember, it began with the Star of Bethlehem leading the Magi. Epiphany is this light that's shining, revealing, making manifest that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He's come to be the Savior of the whole world. That's where it began. Shone pretty brightly that first Sunday in Epiphany with that Star of Bethlehem shining over the manger, guiding the Magi. But Epiphany never shines more brightly than at its climax, which is what today is, and its culmination, which is this transfiguration. We talk about shining and bright. Transfiguration. And yet, against all human inclinations and desires, while Peter was ready to set up camp, you may have noticed in our gospel lesson that Peter said, it's good for us to be here on this mountaintop with this shining, wonderful moment. He was ready to set up camp and bask in an extended period of enjoyment. It lasted but one brief, shining moment. And that's why the title of the sermon is, They Came Down. They came down from the mountain. Matthew 17, verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man is raised again from the dead. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the scripture, the other scriptures we will look at. We thank you for bringing us through this season of Epiphany. We've touched on it time and time and time again, about you being made manifest, even radiant, shining brightly for all the world to see. And so, Father, we thank you also for bringing us here to this culmination and, Lord, reminding us of what's next. What's next on the calendar? What's next on the horizon? We ask that you would help us to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't confess to know all of the ins and the outs of the advertising campaign that is being put on by Liberty Mutual. They have this Limu, Emu, and a sidekick named Doug, or maybe Doug is the main character and Limu, Emu. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody see any of those commercials there? Only pay for what you need is the tagline in all of that. I don't know all the ins and the outs of it, but I do know that Limu, Emu, and Doug were recently featured, and they were brought into spotlight. They were brought into the spotlight at a city hall. Anybody remember that one, the city hall? They're brought into spotlight at the city hall. And they were there to receive the key to the city as a commendation for their great work. The key to the city was given to them. And so Doug is called up to the podium, and this is what he says. It's a big deal. I mean, there's like marching band and fans who stand, and everybody's around there. And so you're expecting a commencement address that may be 40 minutes, I don't know, but Doug comes to the podium and he says this, it is an honor to tell you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so that you only pay for what you need, and now we need to get back to work. And he walks off the podium, hands him the key, and goes back to work. He just received the key to the city. And he gives us a one-liner. It's an honor to tell you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so that you only pay for what you need. And now we need to get back to work. And off they went. I submit to you that that is a snapshot of what our gospel lesson is about. It's a snapshot of what we have here today. So it was with Jesus. So it is with our newly installed officers. That brief shining moment for them, it's over. Guys, that's as good as it gets. And so it is for all of us. Over the years here at Oakwood, we have addressed the striking significance of the Transfiguration. And by no means do I need to diminish that today. Why, if we look just at verse 2 of the gospel lesson, we see its magnificence. Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine like the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. Just this verse introduces us to the true glory of Jesus Christ. If you look at Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to read through several verses here pretty quickly here, but what's happening at the Mount of Transfiguration is we're seeing his true glory, which was veiled in the flesh during his time on earth. But this is the true picture. And I turned to see the voice that spoke unto me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. We're going to go right through these, Kristen, here. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, who is clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Verse 15, his feet like unto a fine brass. They burned in the furnace. His voice like the sound of many waters. And then 16, he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance, his face, was as the sun shining in his strength. Exact replica of what was pictured for us in that brief shining moment at the Mount of Transfiguration. The impact of the Transfiguration was enormous, and we've seen that over the years. If we look at 2 Peter in chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, we see that Peter elaborates upon it. He says, "We have not followed the cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory." And he's speaking about this excellent glory that was seen at the Mount. The voice that came. The voice that came and the voice that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Peter is recounting what an enormous impact this brief shining moment of Transfiguration had on him. Peter also wanted that impact to be transferred to his readers and to you and I. The verse before this verse, verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." I don't want you to forget about this. And by the way, as we look at that picture there, the word decease, after my decease, Peter knows what's going to happen to him. But in the Greek language, that word decease, we think of it as death. You know what that word is in the Greek? It's exodus. After my exodus, after I walk through the Red Sea, figuratively, after I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, after my exodus, I want you to continue to consider these things, the glory that was revealed, to know that God was speaking to him, and to know that God has charged us with the fact that not only is God pleased with him, but we are to hear him. The word is exodus. Which, by the way, is the same exact Greek word which is used in Luke in chapter 9 and verse 31 when Luke is describing this, it's a parallel passage of the Mount of Transfiguration, and it says that Jesus appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. We think of Jesus accomplishing at Jerusalem the sacrificial death. Jesus was speaking with Elijah and Moses of his exodus. He knew that there was life ahead for him. And so not only did he know that there was life ahead for him, but as a new Moses, he was leading others to a life ahead for them. Jesus was and is the new Moses. He is leading, and he's leading us even today, 2,000 years later, on a new Exodus. But you know, as soon as it occurred, this transfiguration, as soon as it occurred, it also was over. Jesus needed to get back to work. We can remember our opening story. He gets up there, he tells it like it is. Now it's time to get back to work. I want you to listen to the collect. Collect is a prayer. In the lectionary, there's always a prayer that's associated with the gospel lesson and the Old Testament, New Testament lessons that we find. And we have it on slide one here. And this is the prayer for today. Grant to us that we, beholding the light of his countenance, that's the transfiguration, bright, shining moment, may be strengthened to bear our cross. Talk about getting back to work. The point of this is not the best. Yes, Peter wanted to stay there. He said, it's good for us to be here. Let's build tabernacles or booths. Let's live on this mountaintop. But the point of the vision is that we may be strengthened to bear our cross and to be changed into his likeness, from our glory into his glory. This moment of transfiguration was pivotal. It was pivotal. But don't forget, as Matthew 17:9 says, they came down from the mountain. They came down from the mountain. The focus on mission did not get lost in a moment of glory. The focus on mission was not to get lost in the moment of glory. I think of Doug, and I think of his friend Limu Imu. Here he was, being celebrated, commended for all of his work, given the key to the city. He gets up, a one-liner, and now we got to get back to work. He had a mission that continued. Do you remember what happened with Moses as the precursor to all of this? About our Old Testament lesson from Exodus 24:12. Moses went up to a mountain for a while as well. There's a couple of different episodes of this here, but the one in our reading here in 24 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up unto me into the mount, I will be there. And I will give you the tables of stone and the law, the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them to your people. I want to fast forward as we see, you know, the next couple of chapters are dealing with God speaking with Moses here, but fast forward to 32 and verse 15, it says, and Moses turned and he went down from the mountain. He too knew that it wasn't about basking there in the glory of the moment. He went down from the mountain with the two tables of the testimony were in his hand, and the tables were written on both of their sides, on one side and on the other were they written. In another place it says they were written. Can't you see Moses coming down from the mountain, Mount Sinai? Okay? He's got two tablets, and he's just kind of like prancing. Look at this. Hey, peace. Look what I have. Look what God gave to me. God was speaking to me. And with his own finger, he wrote on these tablets, and I have them here. Probably feeling really pretty good about things. Can you imagine? Well, let's wait. And let's look at verse 17. There's two verses after this. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is noise of war. Moses comes back down to a mess. Not only a mission ceremony here of installation. You have missions that are ahead of you, many of which are real messes, real problems in real people's lives. There will be trouble, there will be opposition, there will be work to do. Two verses later, it came to pass, as soon as he came near unto the camp, after coming down from the mountain here, he saw the calf and the dancing, their idolatry, their sexual immorality. That's what the dancing is here, by the way. And Moses' anger was waxed hot, and he cast the table out of his hand, and he broke them beneath the mountain. Their idolatry, their adulteries. You guys charged here? That's the world you're heading into. Idolatry and adultery. Trouble. Opposition. Work to do. Immediately. Do you remember what happens in 2 Peter? Following the rehearsal of the transfiguration? You know, the transfiguration was in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verses 16 through 21 there. But when we get to right to chapter 2, what do we read? But there are false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Next verse. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Guess what? We're going to go out into the world, and not only are there going to be heresies, but many other people are going to follow those things. And then there's another verse that says this. And through covetousness, they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgments now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. Judgment is ahead. How about Jesus himself? What was it that followed his coming down and their coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration? It said in verse 9 that he came down from the mountain. Well, in Matthew 17 and verse 10, it says, his disciples asked him, saying, why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered, and he said to them, Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not. They have done unto him whatsoever they wanted to. That's what listed means. Sorry for the old King James language there. So they come down off the mountain of transfiguration, and they say they have done to Elijah what they wished to do, and what that means is that they had already chopped off his head. Not a very pretty picture coming down off the mountain. And in addition to that, in that same verse there, it says, likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Meaning, they chopped off his head, and I'm next. Jesus knew that, yeah, I have this brief, shiny moment. And what's ahead is work and opposition. He chopped off the head of the Baptist, and he was next. Moving on from there, in the very same chapter, chapter 17, there is this life of opposition and this life of spiritual warfare. Look at verse 18. Jesus rebuked the devil. This was the story where this child who was vexed horribly with this demon. And Jesus has to enter. Remove this devil. And it will require prayer and fasting. And there's a sense in which the apostles and the disciples themselves were not able to do it. But it's more work and spiritual opposition. You know what, guys? You left this front row. You're going to run into spiritual warfare. And it's not always going to carry a sign across the forehead or across, you know, the car or the lintel of the house that says, oh, this is a place where there is spiritual warfare. There's going to be a lot of work, opposition, a lot of trouble. But there's even more in this very same chapter right after the transfiguration. We're still in chapter 17, and look at verses 22 and 23. And while they abode there still in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And they were exceedingly sorry. This moment in the sun is a brief shining moment. There's lots of trouble and lots of work. Of course, Jesus knew all of this even before the transfiguration. How do we know that? Look at chapter 16. You remember, it was chapter 17 that opened the transfiguration, chapter 17 starting in verse 1. But prior to that, Matthew 16, from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. At the transfiguration, Peter wanted to stay there. Remember verse 4 of chapter 17. Many have elaborated quite a bit about this verse here. It's good for us to be here. Let us make booths. And yet I want us to remember the calling of today. Slide 1 again, the prayer. What is the purpose of this kind of transfiguration? Grant to us that we, yep, take a look at it, have it fixed in your memory, in your mind, the glory of who Jesus Christ is. Have it there. Use it to this end, that you might be strengthened to bear the crosses that are ahead. Because coming down off of that vision, coming down off of that mountain, coming down after this little ceremony here, there's a cross to bear. That we may be strengthened to bear our cross, so that we also might be changed into his likeness, from our own glory to his glory. Again, Peter wanted to stay. But we must move on. So I say this today, by all means, celebrate today. And I want to have this as an important reminder. All Sundays are for feasting. All Sundays are for feasting. And that's why even in the season of Lent, Sunday doesn't count. Sunday is the day of resurrection. All Sundays are for feasting. We hope to do that tonight. All Sundays are for feasting. But Lent looms ahead for us. You know, remember what Doug said? And now, we need to get back to work. There's something else about that imagery in that Liberty Mutual commercial. Not only was it a nice snapshot of a brief and shining moment, and now we need to get back to work, but it was also this, and don't ever forget this. Doug had the keys to the city. Doug had the keys to the city. Jesus has the keys to the city too. Furthermore, I would submit to you that we have the key to the city. Perhaps you remember the commercial. He's at the podium. He gives his speech. He clamps the big key. I mean, it's just this ridiculously looking ceremony where he's got a little clip on his belt and he's got the big key there, and he's walking down the steps of City Hall there, and it's playing, and he's going along and he's going back to work. But he has the key to the city. We have the gospel. Jesus Christ has the keys to the kingdom. He is the one. And through him, we are the ones who are opening and closing doors for people all through this area. So let us take our commendation today, especially these deacons. We are the priesthood of believers. And whatever brief and shining moments of accolade we may get, let's get back to work. Let's remember that Epiphany is over. Let's remember that Lent is ahead. Let's remember that we have to come down from the mountain. Let's remember that there's a cross for us to bear. Let's just be so impressed with Jesus Christ, who didn't even have to come to earth in the first place. And then even following Epiphany, even following the Mount of Transfiguration, still went down and engaged the passion, the suffering, and the death for us. He's the one who has to keep. And we are the ones who have to keep. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you that you're a good and gracious God. We thank you for the opportunity to have this ceremony here, this installation. Far bigger and better than that is the recognition of the transfiguration of the Christ. Father, we are thankful that Jesus didn't stay on that mountain, didn't ascend at that time, leave us, but he came back down. Then he went back to work, carrying that key. Father, help us to do likewise. In Jesus' name.